Hey, everybody. This is Ian from Montreal, and you're listening to this episode of Ivy Envy Podcast, brought to you by awesome Patreon supporters just like me, even though my money's in Canadian. I don't know what that's good for. Go, Cubs, go.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. This is our 401st episode. Tonight, we will talk about the first two games of the Giants series. We're recording this during the third game of the series, so we may have a few comments on the game as it happens. With some recent losses, series losses to the Padres and Brewers, we'll discuss if there's any legitimate reason for Cubs fans to be concerned. We'll obviously talk about the Hayward injury, some roster moves that have happened in the last few days, Lester's short outing, and a guy heating up and a guy cooling down. We've got lots to cover on this episode. My name is Corey. I'm one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So, Kurt, you're an Iowa City celebrity. Is that right?
Yeah. Tonight for the first time, so we're downtown doing a little photo shoot for the four-year-old, and I heard my name. And I was like, "Oh, okay, hi." I didn't know who it was, and it was a listener. So
really,
yeah, we'll give a shout out to Kyle and Luther down at Forbidden Planet Pizza. So if you're in Iowa City, check that out. It's actually a good place. I've not been there myself, but everybody I've talked to and my friends all love it. It's a pizzeria and arcade downtown Iowa City. So yeah, go check it out. And I chatted with them for just a couple minutes because we had the kids and the family with us. But it's cool to meet them and. Thanks for flagging me down.
So they just like recognized you?
Yeah. Well, first he's like, "Kurt." And I was like, "I don't know you." And he's like, "Kurt, IVMV." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Which it's the first time it's ever happened. So apologies if my celebrity like presence didn't come across very well to you two guys, but it's my first time. So.
My theory is that they recognized you by your pant size.
Like that dude. Wow. That dude's tall. And I was wearing shorts, though.
That guy looks like he wears a 33-36, and I only know one person that would wear it. It must be Kurt.
I was wearing, a Cubs shirt and hat, so I suppose that helped a little bit, but,
Huh. So yeah, it's cool. So, that's pretty awesome.
It's happened to you though. I mean, you've met people.
Yeah. But so did that mean that like what was Lana's reaction? Was she like, "Oh, he is doing something"?
Yeah, later she's like, "I wasn't sure what the protocol is there for me," and she just kind of kept walking with the boys, to like, keep them away from ruining a real conversation that adults have. Because that's what my boys would do. But yeah, she kind of went on ahead. And then later she's like, "Was I supposed to like stay around?" And I'm like, "No, you just get the boys out of here so I can actually talk to people."
That's pretty awesome. And so they play our podcast in the kitchen of their restaurant?
Yeah, Kyle said they play it back in the kitchen. So wow. I think that's pretty amazing. So while you guys, hopefully the kitchen is listening to this episode.
Right, yeah.
Doing a little celebration dance.
I love the idea that our voices are there during a pizza making process.
Oh yeah. I couldn't think of a better place for
pizza and beer. That's about as good as you can get.
That kind of sums us up. Mm-hmm. Pizza, beer, and Cubs. So
I feel like I'm made of more pizza beer than water these days.
It's mostly uncooked dough, but it's like the precursor to pizza. Right.
Let's be fair. This podcast is a little doughy. Oh, man. All right. Well, we will dive fully into the Giants series here in a bit. But, guys, the Cubs have lost two series in a row, and it could possibly be three series in a row if they're not able to beat Bumgarner tonight. And we've kind of dismissed the concern that some have had over these losses But do you guys think that there's legitimate reason for concern?
Well, I mean, we talked about on the last podcast, they're bound to hit a little bit of a cold spell at times, you know, and so I don't see any reason why they're not going to be able to snap out of it. You know, I don't think there's any cause for concern.
No, I don't either. And, you know, you're talking about a couple of road series that you hope to win, obviously, the Brewers series, just because they're not a good team. But, you know, you're going to lose some series. And I don't know. It's just too early to freak out, given that they're so far ahead. They're playing so well as a whole. And they've also gone through some injuries. And I think it's difficult to point at any particular injury and say, oh, this resulted in some recent losses. But, you know, with Schwarber out, Montero was out for a while, Hayward missing a couple of games here. You know, those things can add up, and I think maybe that equals a loss or two or a couple series losses. And if those injuries equal a couple series losses, I think that they got away pretty lucky.
Yeah, I don't want to say that there's no reason for concern, because if you I guess until the World Series has been clinched, yes, there's always reason for concern. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like maybe I was just kind of thinking about it today, and I was thinking, like, you know, we've been just so dismissive of, you know, any reason to be concerned. And I mean, we're in May, and this is a long season, but I think that the Cubs have put themselves in good shape to have a good shot at the division title, but it's a long season. A lot can go wrong, and there's also a lot that can go right. So I'm not convinced that they're in a tailspin or anything like that. I mean, they're 17 games over 500 on May 22nd. They have a winning percentage of over 700. According to 538, their playoff odds, the Cubs have a 97% chance of going to the playoffs. Baseball Prospectus has them just short of 99%. So I don't think you can ask for the Cubs to be in a better position at this point yet. For every 100 times, there's those 1 to 3% chance in the playoff odds that they don't make the playoffs. And I suppose after some losses, kind of the dark side of Cubs fans comes out. And I'll be honest, I get a little worried, but I have a lot of hope for this season. And really anything that goes wrong can place a little, you know, there's just a little hint of like doubt or concern in there. But while I think there will be individual games that seem ugly, there will be series and even stretches of series that look ugly, I think kind of like what they're in the middle of right now. But like I said on the last episode, I think the experience of digging out of a bad stretch and the experience of a short roster from injury and really just everything that a baseball team goes through in the course of a 162 game season, I think that will make this team more well-rounded and a better prepared team for the playoffs, if we're so lucky that they get there.
I think it's going to be important to look at when they get back home on Friday against the Phillies. Mm-hmm. I would expect them to come back home and get back in that home stretch, you know, in a strong way and win a lot of games there. And I think if they struggle, you know, they have the Phillies and the Dodgers at home, and the D-backs. So they have a pretty long homestand, three series at home. I think that's going to be key for them to really get it on track and win a lot of those games. So I'll be more concerned if they come back home and still, you know, continue to scuffle.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important to kind of like look around the league and, you know, not just have your Cubs goggles on all the time. And, you know, like so they're 4-6 in their last 10, and there are six other National League teams that were 4-6 in their last 10. So they're among basically league average and last. I mean, it's not like they're just falling apart. And I think it's easy to feel like after all this recent success that this is falling apart, but you know, they're sort of maintaining, while they're struggling.
Yeah, I kind of feel like maybe in a way, I mean, they started off the season so strong. And, you know, they played so well for 6 weeks. And I almost maybe feel like they were kind of operating. I mean, I understand how stupid this sounds, because collectively as a team, I don't know if you can operate off of adrenaline. But it's almost like I wonder if they were just were rolling, you know, and they were crushing teams and they were playing so well. And then you kind of wonder if maybe they didn't, in a way, just kind of run out of gas. And I don't know. I'm not even really looking for an explanation of what's, you know, kind of, I guess, quote unquote, been wrong for the last week or week and a half. But I just think, like I said, I think these things are going to happen, and it's better to get them out of the way in May, especially when you're 17 games over 500. And I think the experience will be good, but I'm kind of ready for them to be crushing teams again.
Yeah,
I have to admit.
Let's hope it starts with the Cardinals coming up here after they get out of San Francisco.
Right. Right. I didn't even know we were broadcasting on YouTube. Apparently we are, because I just got a comment from YouTube, and it's from Ninetail Nate, who must be watching live, and he said that the 2001 Mariners went 4-7 in a stretch in June. So there you go. The team that's won, you know, tied for the most wins in a season, they went on a 4-7 stretch. So
thanks for the note. That's a good touchstone.
Right. And I have no idea how you sent that to me. So I don't think I've ever gotten a notification from YouTube before. But we have, yeah. So we've moved over to Google. Also, I also want to mention, if you're hearing like a buzz throughout this episode, apparently my mixer is dying a slow, painful death, loud, noisy death. So if you do hear, hopefully when I can kind of clean things up in post, that's an industry term, guys. I'm going to clean it up in post.
Stop throwing all this jargon out. Yeah. I don't understand
insider stuff.
Hopefully I can clean it up, but if I can't, hopefully I'll have a new mixer here before the next episode. So I apologize if that little buzzing is irritating you. But back to the topic at hand. I'll say that I think it's really silly to criticize the Cubs or Joe Maddon for some of the things going on right now. I mean, I think there's so much to credit the front office and management for. There's so many reasons that the Cubs are 17 games over 500, and that so many of those things that group is responsible for. And so I guess for that reason alone, I think it's kind of silly to criticize them right now. So before we look at the Giants series, if you've been frustrated by trying to buy online tickets for sporting events or concerts, then you need to try SeatGeek, and they've made it really easy to buy tickets. Cubs tickets are not easy to find this year, and they're not as cheap as they have been in recent years. So let SeatGeek help you get into the games and save you money. Say you missed out on buying tickets for our tailgate at the Cubs Brewers game in Milwaukee on July 23rd. Well, you can still join us for the tailgate, and you can get your own seats for the game. It's on a Saturday, July 23rd. So use the SeatGeek app and identify that game as one that you're interested in, and you will get alerts when the price drops. And you can even find seats near us. We're in section 429. If you have the opportunity to see the Cubs on the road this year, it's a great year for that, and the tickets will be cheaper there than at Wrigley, so let SeatGeek help get you into the game. What SeatGeek does is they pull all the tickets from the other sites into one place. They have ratings to let you know that you're getting a good deal, and you can even see the view from those seats. And best of all, SeatGeek is always upfront and honest about the price. Unlike StubHub, the price you see throughout the process on SeatGeek is the price that you pay. They never surprise you with fees when you check out. And because you listen to our podcast, you can get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. And here's what you do. Download the free SeatGeek app, tap on settings, then add a promo code, and enter the promo code IVY, I-V-Y in all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after your first purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. I do have one bit of news here as we keep kicking the can down the road to talk about the Giants. the podcast, did you guys know that we are podcast awards finalists? Did you guys know that?
I just found out right before the broadcast tonight.
Yeah, it was.
And I heard Andy say it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
When did he say that? Did I totally miss it?
When you were messing around with your mixer.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you were doing, you didn't hear him say it.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't. So, yeah, we, maybe a month ago or so, we asked you to nominate us to be a podcast in the podcast awards, and we are finalists. We're one of 10 finalists, and voting starts in a week. So we'll tell you how to vote for us and everything. And the podcast that we have always lost to, this is our third year in a row of being nominated, which is really awesome. And we thank you for that. But the podcast that we always lost to is not eligible to win this year. So maybe I think we have a shot. So it would be nice to see a Cubs podcast be named the best sports podcast. That would be nice. I don't necessarily think we are the best sports podcast, but
it would just be fun.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So let's talk about this Giants series. And I think we need to start with Jason Hayward's injury. And that injury happened in the first defensive at bat of the series for the Cubs. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah, it was pretty scary, given the way he went into the wall. And I think probably your gut reaction to that is a good sign of his value. And we've talked a lot about Hayward lately. And like, you look at his batting average, you know, he's only hit one home run. Maybe you don't feel like he's super value. But the guys, when something like that happens and you're like, oh no, mm-hmm. like, how long is he going to be out? That's, I think, when you feel value, when it really hits home.
Except so, here's the beautiful thing, Kurt, is when people that have been complaining about him and calling him a bum, and the same people that have requested that he be benched and things like that are also the same people that freak out when he gets injured.
Yeah. Yep. And like I said, it was pretty scary when he hit and he kind of twisted it awkwardly. But the news is, after the MRI, he's got a contusion near his right rib and hip, and he'll miss 3 to 5 days. And I think that's pretty solid news, given how it looked and how bad it could have been. And especially given our experience with the Schwarber injury, I'm sure a lot of people were kind of thinking it could be bad, and I don't blame you for that. But thankfully it's not, and hopefully he'll get over it pretty quickly and be back out there. So,
yeah, when it happened, did you guys think there was any way that he would only be out 3 to 5 days?
No, I was expecting probably a 15-day stint, sort of optimistically. Maybe he needed a little less time than that, but, you know, it looked bad. And the way he grabbed his side, like, he was definitely in pain, and
yeah,
that was scary.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, at minimum a couple months. I figured he either, like, tore, like, an oblique, or he broke a rib or something. And he himself said that he felt his bottom rib touch his hip bone. It's ooh. Like, oh gosh, well, that is not a feeling.
Rib tickle.
his hip gave him a little tickle up in the ribs.
Tickling the riblets.
But yeah, we can joke now that we know it's 3 to 5 days.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be if it was longer. But yeah, I think that we all could recognize the pain it would have been to lose him for longer than that, because his defense has been, I mean, the play itself was incredible.
I was going to say.
And to lose that caliber of defense for any period of time would definitely be tough.
Yeah, that was an amazing play. And I guess I didn't realize how sharp the wall is out there, as far as the angle that it, you know, how deep it goes to, like, 421 feet at that one point. And I think I wish I could say that it's one of those things where, you know, with Twitter now, you just read so much and then you don't know where it came from or if it's even true or anything. But I think that I read, probably on Twitter, that that the Giants broadcasters or somebody, you know, that has seen a lot of games there, said that they've never seen anyone make a catch at that, in that part of the ballpark.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the broadcast, the ESPN broadcast tonight as well. So anyway, yeah, it was impressive that he got to it, and he didn't even, his jump was a little off too as he kind of came in at the beginning, and so just kind of a testament to his speed and athletic ability that he was able to get to that ball.
Yeah, so it is pretty. I guess on one hand, it's kind of scary to see somebody like laying it all on the line when you've already lost an outfielder for the season. But on the other hand, I think if people are thinking like, oh, you know, maybe they shouldn't go all out like that, just, you know, to stay healthy for the season, that's not really in their nature. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. athletes are hardwired to put their bodies on the line. And it was Now that we know he's okay, it was an incredible catch. So to help fill that hole in the outfield, Matt Caesar is conveniently ready to come off the DL. But with Hayward not going to the DL, that means that a roster move needed to happen.
Yeah, and that the unlucky player was reliever Neil Ramirez. He was DFA to open a spot for Caesar. And I was sad to see him go. I have a Neil Ramirez signed ball in the just in the background there. He was a guy that was really good for the Cubs in 2014. He gave them 43.2 strong innings. He had a 1.44 ERA, struck out 53 in those 43.2 while only surrendering 17 walks. And then the injury bug came along. He had a shoulder injury in 2015, which limited him to 14 innings pitched. And he never has looked quite the same since the injury. In 2014, I always kind of thought of his repertoire as being almost Justin Grimm-like. He just seemed to have a fastball that really jumped at the hitter. And it seemed like he just frequently blew guys away with that high fastball. And this season, his velocity's been down, and it hasn't had the same life to it, his fastball. And he just appeared to be more of a one-dimensional pitcher. Still, though, I mean, he's a useful reliever. There's no way a useful reliever like him clears waivers. So he's most likely no longer a Cub. And so that's why I say I'm a little disappointed, is because his time with the Cubs is probably over. So the Cubs have 10 days, you know, in which to either waive him, trade him, or release him. And, you know, I don't know, you can hope and pray that he somehow magically makes it through waivers and then they can outride him to Iowa, but I don't really see that happening at all. They had a 13-man pitching staff with Ramirez, so the Cubs kind of had a tough decision. They had to decide whether to go back to the typical 12-man, roster of pitchers or to maybe part ways with Fedorovich. And given what we've seen so far with Ross and especially Montero kind of showing his age with that bat, that sore back he had going on, I think the Cubs are kind of reluctant to let Fedorovich go.
Yeah, we talked on the last episode about how they're kind of in a bind if they let him go and then there's another injury or something, because with, you know, Contreras, probably it's not ideal to bring him up right now. I don't think you want Taylor Davis up there necessarily, although he played well in spring training, but spring training is a little different than facing Madison Bumgarner.
But so anyway, hopefully Ramirez, you know, lands with another team and is able to do well with another team, I guess. And that's Madden basically said, you know, something to that effect too, when he was asked about him. So,
yeah. Yep. So let's talk about some positive stuff. We've kind of had a couple of bummer topics here in a row. So it's nice to see Soler having some good games. I think he's looking pretty good this series so far.
Yeah, and he's getting a little bit more playing time lately. He's actually appeared in the last four and started the last three. I think most people's concern is with Soler's offense, and thankfully that's improved greatly lately. And in just the last three games that he's started, he's hitting .364 with the .417 OBP. And it's only three games, but he's got a few extra base hits. He's got a couple of doubles, a home run. He's hitting the ball hard, picked up an RBI. So he's doing the things that you want out of Soler and not striking out as much. He's only got two strikeouts. So, again, it's just a short term, but, it's easy to, flip something over and turn it around in a short term. And I think getting some regular playing time, we've talked about this before, is going to be good for him to get a little more consistent and get his confidence built up. So, looks like that's happening for now, and hopefully it keeps going.
Yeah, he hit a line drive to right field on last night's game. I don't know if you guys had the opportunity to watch last night's game, but man, he just smacked the crap out of that ball. I mean, it's like, you know, that like Soler laser shot, like line drive laser shot that looks like it's going to like punch a hole in the wall. And I mean, it was one of those where it gets to the wall in like, you know, 2.5 seconds. Yeah. But so it's good to see him getting, you know, making really hard contact like that and it not going right to a defender. So,
well, and I can't tell you what game it was, but there was one where it was like one of those borderline pitches that we've kind of talked about, Soler kind of getting
a Soler strike
kind of going. Yeah, like it was like, but he went ahead, you know, he swung at it and hit a hard line drive single, and he still pulled it too, which is kind of amazing because it was away. And got around on it and pulled it. And it's kind of like just that one pitch made me kind of think, oh, maybe he's adjusting to this.
Yeah.
You might have to swing at some of these outer third pitches.
Right. Because the one that he hit, the line drive that he hit.
Potential balls.
Yeah. The line drive that he hit off the wall that I was talking about, that double, that was one of those Soler strikes. And if all of a sudden you know that he can just like rip it into right field and bounce it off the wall, you know, just a crazy line drive, maybe you might not be so eager to go there. So, and then maybe he can kind of settle back into a normal strike zone and start getting those calls, you know, just kind of let one of them go every once in a while. And if it's called a ball, then, you know, it's safe to lay off of them. But if not, you might just need to start ripping them down the right field line. So, one thing that's kind of stood out to me in this series is I have to admit it's been kind of rough to watch Javier Baez lately, and I'm not down on Baez. He's one of my favorites on the team. I mean, this is kind of the result of early small sample sizes, but on May 11th, just 11 days ago, he was hitting 300 and he's now down to 241. He's had just one hit since May 11th. He's one for his last 19. Has not drawn any walks in that time, and his OBP is just is 231 for this month, for the month of May, and he's slugging 300. So things are not great right now. I don't have any stats to back this up. I meant to look at it, but I just didn't have time. But it really feels like he's not being very patient at the plate. And I think in his first two at bats on Saturday, he swung at the first pitch both times. And I mean, it's entirely possible that it was in the scouting report that he should just jump on stuff early. That's possible. But it's also possible that Baez could be falling into some bad habits. And, you know, I think if you go into your third at bat and you've only seen two pitches, you're not really doing yourself a favor. And so I don't know. I would just wish he was playing better. Just because I like him so much. But I think that Madden and his staff, they're surely aware of what's going on and they will work with him. And I think it could just be the matter of a bad stretch. I love Baez. I love his monster swing in home runs. But I really, at the same time, really like the type of player that Baez had become. Just shortening up that swing, becoming a better complete hitter along with that, you know, very flashy glove in the field. I just hope to see him come around. He's gotten more playing time lately, way more in May than he got in April. Not totally down on him, but I think we'll see Baez go through this type of stuff more than guys like Bryant or Russell. You know, I just think this is not going to be...
Because of the type of player he is.
Right. Yeah. I think this is not going to be uncommon.
Sadly, I mean, we always talk about how important it is for guys to have at bats just to be able to work through stuff like this. And with Soler, you know, playing a little bit better lately, it's kind of making the decision to go with Soler in left field and Bryant at third base maybe a little bit more appealing for Madden than a Baez at third and Bryant in left field combo.
Yeah, I still think, I mean, I think that I'm not sure if they're going to put Caesar in right field every day, like he's playing tonight. You know, I mean, with bringing Caesar up, maybe he could play center field and you could shift Fowler over there. So I think Baez can still get some playing time and some plate appearances in the Cardinals series.
On the field.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think so too. And that's, you know, the beauty of this lineup, I guess.
Yeah. So let's talk about pitching a little. I think the biggest topic as far as pitching goes from this Giants series would be that Lester did not have a good start on Saturday.
Yeah, and it really draws the attention of fans because it's the first time a Cubs starter has been knocked out that early. And he was knocked out of the game in the third inning. That was an inning which featured a two-run homer by Buster Douglas. Posey, I'm sorry. The bad omen was the two-run double that Matt Cain hit off of Lester in the second inning. Matt Cain had been 0-46 prior to that at bat.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lester was just saying in his post-game interview, it's one of those things where you really don't want to walk the pitcher, you know. And so he's trying to get Cain there, and Cain happens to come through after an 0-46 stretch.
Yeah, I think they said his last hit, it was like over 2 years ago. It was in 2014, but I think it was like in early May of 2014. So it had been it had been two calendar years, I think. I may be wrong on that, but.
No, that sounds right to me too. But yeah, Lester's control is just off, and you know, he's been pretty great this season so far. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and allow him to have an off night. I think that's kind of me. to go ahead and let him do that, have an off night. I mean, he's shown an ability in his time with the Cubs to come back strong after the occasional bad game. I don't see any reason for him not to be able to do that again. So I'm not worried about him at all. I think that his next outing, he'll come back strong.
Yeah, I think you're going to see these. And it's worth mentioning here, since we are recording this, I'm watching game day for tonight's game. And Kyle Hendricks had a good game. I'm not sure exactly how far he went into the game. But, you know, at the time of this recording, they're at the end of the seventh inning. He went 5 1/3, gave up 3 hits and 1 earned run, walked 3, only 1 strikeout. But that's pretty good if Hendricks can keep the Giants off the board. I just figured we should at least mention that, since we were talking about pitching there, and I said that was the one thing to take out of the series was Lester's bad start. It's worth mentioning Hendricks's good start in the bullpen.
Right.
You know, really has performed well. So, okay. So the Cubs have a 3-game series in St. Louis with the Cardinals, and I'm guessing they're going to be a little tired after playing tonight, Sunday night ESPN game, and then flying to St. Louis and playing tomorrow. So Andy, how do these pitching matchups look?
Yeah. Tomorrow at 7:15, John Lackey will be opposed by Adam Wainwright. And let me just say up front, the Cardinals pitching staff has not been great.
No.
To start the season.
Especially Wainwright. They've struggled.
And especially Wainwright, which is surprising. But so John Lackey goes against Wainwright, and yeah, he's been having a tough time so far this season, but it's worth mentioning he was great in his last outing. He went 6.2 and gave up 0 earned runs. The time before that, he gave up 6 earned runs to the Angels. So if that right there, I mean, we've seen how bad the Angels have the potential to be, and they put up 6 on Wainwright. It just kind of shows how things have gone for him so far. John Lackey, dude has like had some tough draws as far as the guys he's been going against. He pitched against Scherzer a couple starts ago, you guys might remember. And Scherzer got knocked around by the Cubs in that game. And he's had a couple, you know, tough matchups since then. But now he gets Wainwright tomorrow night, so it should be an interesting game. Tuesday's game is at 6:10, and that is a Jason Hamill start, and he's going against Michael Wacha, who also hasn't been great this season. His last outing was 4 innings pitched against Colorado, and he gave up 6 earned runs. Wednesday's game features Jake Arrieta against Carlos Martinez. And Martinez actually, I think, has the lowest ERA of all the Cardinals starters. But his last time out, he gave up 4 earned runs to the Diamondbacks. So Cardinals pitching has been hittable, and you know, maybe that'll be just the right medicine for the Cubs, you know, coming out off of this start against Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, since we are recording this right during the game, I just talked about Baez, you know, going up and not appearing to be very patient at the plate. He just came up to pinch hit, and he saw a total of two pitches. Both of them were out of the zone, and he swung at both of them. And one of them, the second one, was a ground ball to first base. So, yeah, it just feels like he's kind of lost some of that patience at the plate. And he's never had a lot of patience, but it seems like earlier in the year when he was playing really well, he was being a little bit more selective with what he was swinging at, and he just seems to kind of be ready to jump all over everything right now.
Yeah.
On our last episode, Michael from Galesburg, he asked about if Montreal can handle a baseball team or something to that effect. He basically was asking about Montreal and baseball. We got a voicemail from Kevin from Toronto to, I guess, speak on behalf of all Canadians. And I will play that voicemail at the end of this episode after the music. So, and also, Kevin is coming down from Toronto for the weekend at the lake. So it'll be nice to meet Kevin in person, but stick around for his thoughts on baseball in Montreal. Kurt, do you have a scary stat of the week for us?
I do. Unfortunately, it's slightly outdated, but it's good enough to share still. This was after Jake Arrieta's last start, and we haven't talked about him on this podcast. I guess it's old news that Jake is still awesome, but the Cubs, and this, I got this from ESPN Stats and Info, but the Cubs' run differential in just the Jake Arrieta starts is plus 58. And after his last start, the run differential in just his starts was greater than all other major league teams. That's currently not true. Only one other team has now surpassed Jake Arrieta's run support, and that's the Red Sox at 66. So it's 58 to 66. Everybody else is behind him. Just personally in his starts. And so we've talked about run differential before, but just the fact that just that one starter and the best starter is getting that kind of support is kind of amazing.
Yeah. Well, it also helps when you never give up runs.
Yep. Yeah, well, they have the 16 to nothing. That helps
right,
out.
Right, that too, yeah. Yeah.
Makes a difference.
Can I jump back to pitching again? I mean, this is weird. We normally don't record during episodes, but you know, I've kind of been like rough on Travis Wood lately. I just want to mention that he went an inning and two thirds tonight and didn't even give up a hit. So
yeah,
his ERA has dropped down to 3.07, although I'm sure that his FIP is still significantly higher, but worth mentioning.
We don't allow ERAs over three.
Right. You're a Cubs pitcher, damn it. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes this week?
Yeah, I have one.
I have a kind of a quick one just because I just shared that scary stat, but like the first Twitter comment after it was Kershaw is better, and that's it. That was their only comment.
Just oh, people trolling stats. After the Arrieta stuff?
Yeah.
Do you say you did have one, Andy?
Yeah, I have one. This one is on Cubs Facebook, and this commenter says, "Chicago Cubs, God luck fans of Chicago Cubs. My IQ only of 110. And you?" And then it has a link.
God luck. Well, you know, I think it should be standard practice that you you put your IQ along with your comments in social media. I think that is something that needs to start.
It's pretty obviously like a spam thing, but I just like it.
God luck.
My IQ is 110. Oh man, I love that. That's awesome. Okay, so mine all come from Jason Hayward stuff after the injury. So I have a few here. One of these is this person said Bruce Harper would have stayed in.
Bruce.
Which isn't totally surprising considering Dusty Baker called him Royce Harper.
Royce.
Royce
Bruce Harper. He totally would have stayed in. Okay. So this one, this is an internet muscle flex I really kind of enjoyed. So they said, this person says, dude blows, you know, in response to Jason Hayward. And the next person said, blows other teams' chances of rallying with his range and defensive ability.
That's classic muscle flex.
I know, I loved it. And then the last one I have here says, so the Cubs posted something, and these are all from their Instagram. And it said, we are sending our best wishes to Jason Hayward, blah, 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 about him leaving the game. The person comments and says, I'm not sure what sending wishes will do for him. You could pray, though.
Oh, you could.
Wishes will do him nothing. Like, could you... I don't even know. I'm not even going to touch it. It's
to quote the amazing Burgess Meredith, you can wish in one hand and crap in the other. See which gets filled up first.
Oh, man. I just think it's amazing to tell like a brand, you shouldn't be wishing. You should be praying for him.
Well, they're not the best organization in baseball, so they don't.
Right.
They don't pray enough.
Right. Right. All right. So that does it for this episode, which was made possible by all of our Patreon supporters. We have some new supporters that have jumped on board since our midweek episode. Carrie from Prospect, Kentucky. Tom from Waterville, Ohio. Gianna from Chicago. And Daniel from Atlanta. I just wanted to say that, the Patreon support has been incredible, and we really appreciate it. This podcast is... changed quite a bit because of your support. It prompted us to do 2 episodes a week during the season. It's helped us upgrade equipment, like I'm about to do with this mixer over here, and it's helped us get some new equipment, and it's made us, made it way easier for us to do stuff like our Cubs Brewers tailgate and all of the events that we've done over the last couple years and all of them that are coming up this season. By the way, if you want to camp, play wiffle ball, drink, and watch a Cubs with the three of us and a bunch of Ivy Envy listeners, and check out the Weekend at the Lake, ivyenvy.com/lake. So if you're listening to this and you would like to get an Ivy Envy bumper sticker or poster or a pint glass, or if you would just like to be part of the reason that this podcast keeps things going, then go to patreon.com/ivyenvy. That's patreon.com/ivyenvy. Or you can go to ivyenvy.com and click on the Patreon link. It's on the right side of the page. So as we mentioned, the Cubs go to St. Louis for 3 games, and we will be back on Wednesday night to talk about the series. And until then, go Cubs.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Kevin from Toronto. Just phoning in regarding Montreal Expos. I spent that weekend in Montreal and was actually talking to people about this topic during the weekend. And I think the general consensus is they would love having a team here, but they don't know how sustainable it will be. The first 2 years, maybe 3 years, might do well, but this is a hockey town. If the Habs are playing, there's not a chance that people are going to the games, especially in April, May, and even in September, unless, of course, the team's doing well. And that's about it. Thanks a lot, guys.